Okay, anyway, all right. You think about that. But watch this. It's a karma mindset. See, because of something they did wrong, now you are reaping, you know, something negative here. And Jesus is trying to say here, it's like, no, this wasn't because of, you know, their sin. This wasn't because of, you know, karma. And this wasn't because God willed it. He says, this is because, watch this, of secondary causes. Because of the fact now that when sin has gotten into the earth, it begins to taint things. Even the expression, the perfect expression of God's goodness, it can get tainted through now human vessels. Things can begin to go wrong, go differently than what God had intended from the very beginning. God is not the author of evil, and there is no good in evil, not one bit. Can the church say amen? Amen. Number three, are we left to suffer in life through the influences and effects of evil? So are we just left to deal with it? Because, well, okay, you know, evil comes and these things happen, so are we just kind of left to, you know, have to deal with it? Because, you know, after all, you know, these things happen and you're saying that God is not controlling and necessarily stopping it, so we just are left to live through and maybe suffer through the influences and effects of evil? Well, let's see what the Word of God says here in Romans chapter 8. Verse 28 says, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good. To and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Come on, all things are working together and are fitting into a plan for good. To and for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So God has this way of getting good out of any situation when we trust him. He doesn't bring the evil, but God says, I got some goodness now that will counteract the evil. Evil now is set because of now sin that, you know, crept into the earth. It says, but now my grace is sufficient and will turn any situation around if you will look to me. So now God says, you might get a diagnosis that says X, Y, and Z. That didn't come from me, God says. But I got some grace that can change that. If you come back unto me, everything that you go through, God says, I can take it and make it work for my plan. If you'll look to me and if you'll trust me in it. God says, I wasn't the author of the bad thing. And let's be clear, that bad thing is coming to harm you. That evil is coming to hurt you. God says, with me, those who love me, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good. All things. Everyone say all things. Work together and are fitting into a plan for good. I like the Message translation too, verse 28. It says, that's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. God will get good out of any situation if we will look to him for it. Now, that doesn't change the fact that it was evil, doesn't change the fact that it was a tragedy, but God says, I can still bring forth some good if you will look to me. The worst thing to happen is that when evil things show up and bad things happen, that we look away from God because now we've made a bad situation much worse. Keep looking to your good, good Father. Last question. What does Jesus say about the presence of evil and suffering? Well, I'm glad you asked. Luke chapter 13, watch this. About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Jesus asked. Is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will perish too, unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. And what about the 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No. And I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too. So again, you can see Jesus is addressing this whole concept that people had the tendency to associate tragedy again with guilt. Somebody did something wrong, and that's why that tower fell on their head. This is why these individuals got murdered, because they were worse than everybody else. And Jesus says, no, not at all. No, it wasn't karma. That's not what's going on here. Jesus is expressing the fact that difficulties and tragedy have the potential of happening to anyone, has the potential of happening to anyone. But then the real crux of his message here is what he says twice in this passage. Right at the end, he says, no, I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too. What's going on here? Jesus is saying, without surrendering to God, you too will experience death, which is equally as tragic as what happened to those Galileans and these people that died in Jerusalem. He says, just like that is a tragedy. Jesus is like, that's an absolute tragedy. He said, but you need to understand, if you do not stay connected with me, your demise will be just as bad as that. Not meaning that you're going to go through a tragedy, but you're going to be separated from me. So the encouragement is, come to me. Come to me, praise God. That changes everything. Then he continues on in the same thought and thinking and goes into verse 6 and he says this. Then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hadn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. The gardener answered, sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. Oh, man, I love this. See, Jesus, God, is the gardener. A lot of times people will give up on you in life. A lot of times people will look and say, well, you're not producing, or, you know, you're not what I thought, you know, so forth. And people will just want to do away with you, like in this case. But Jesus was trying to paint the picture. He says, no, in the kingdom it's different. He says, when everyone else is ready to give up on you, when you think you're no longer worthy of the time and the effort, the kingdom of God, and God himself is long-suffering, and he's always giving additional time and opportunity. When others see a failure, God sees someone investing, you know, worth investing extra care and attention into. See, when it looks like, watch this, you're down and now maybe your worth is somehow diminished, I've got news for you. You're not diminished at all. You are still worth, watch this, the going price of the blood of Jesus. Check the stock market to see what that's worth. It ain't on there. They can't register it. They can't measure it, praise God. So even though you may not feel like it, God is always trying to say, listen, I'm the one that I'm affording extra time. Come on, I'm giving another chance to. Why? Because God is the author of the great comeback. Yeah. And just like Jesus came back, God says, I'm working, watch this, to bring you back too. And you need to understand, God says, I'm the one that was behind what happened to Jesus. So if I did it with him, I can do it with you. Whatever may be coming up against you, if you will look to me and trust me like my first son, I can resurrect you too. Someone say it with me. There's resurrection coming in my life. Come on. Things that were dead now are going to live again. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Things that look like it got away is coming back to you. Praise God. Yeah. Well, you know, things that you thought you missed now, no. You're going to find brand new opportunities that's going to make it even sweeter in Jesus' name. Come on. Say, my comeback is here. Yes, it is. Praise God. My comeback is here in Jesus' name. Come on, we're going to finish right here on this point. And then we're just going to take some time just to worship God again, because he's good unto us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. Come on, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And why is that? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. Yeah, he exists, but watch this. He cares for you. He absolutely cares for you. And because of the fact that he cares for you and I, so God says, whatever you're dealing with, if you look to me, I'll get you back from it. Come on, I'll lift you from it. Come on, I'll restore, you know, the years that the cankerworm, you know, had eaten, praise God. Things that looked like it was completely destroyed, God says, I'm resurrecting, praise God. See, that's why we're getting ready for the greatest time in all of human history, the time when the devil was ultimately defeated. Sickness, disease, sin, shame, and everything else done a death blow. And I'll even go so far as this. He even dealt with death itself. Yeah. Yeah. We're coming into it, praise God. Why? Because he cares for us. So regardless of what you are experiencing, have faith in our good God that just like Jesus can come back and came back because God cares enough for you, he will bring you back too. Someone say, I'm coming back. Yeah, come on.